You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 77. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan. And this week we talk to Alex Williams, the senior program manager at Technolutions, the makers of Slate. We talk about New England and snow. Most importantly, we talk about Alex's passion for enrollment management. Alex is one of the folks behind EM Chat on Twitter. It's a dedicated chat that breaks down silos in higher education in regards to enrollment management. Alex gives us a behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to maintain the weekly chat, and we talk about his passion for enrollment management and how it got started. So we hope you enjoy this episode of Higher Ed Social.
How many Wi-Fi routers do you own?
Well, I have one, but there's a 5 gigahertz network and a not 5 gigahertz network, and there's more throughput on the 5 gigahertz network. So my laptop connected to the wrong one, and I hadn't noticed that.
Got it. Xfinity.
I do have. I have Comcast for Business. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, we have. I have a dual Wi-Fi too, and it's just like it's always connecting to the one I don't want it to connect to.
I'm using an Apple router because it's more powerful. But you know, sometimes when I connect to the wrong network, it doesn't always connect the way I want it to. So.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Cool.
I don't have that fancy Wi-Fi here. I just have one, and sometimes it just falls apart.
All that matters is that it works most of the time.
Yeah, except when, I was very frustrated because I had to bump up my internet connection, therefore how much I pay every month, because my router couldn't handle streaming Netflix on my Apple TV and me being on any other device at once. It was very like, nope, can't handle that. Which is such a first world problem now that I vocalize that.
Totally. Right.
I feel like very privileged as I just said that. And I kind of want to take that back. But I can't even keep complaining because I feel like such an entitled jerk after saying that. But
it's an understandable problem. So
it's a very big world issue, obviously.
Yeah, I'm personally waiting for Google Fiber to come into my neighborhood so that I never have to worry about these internet connectivity issues ever again. So
amazing.
Is that happening soon? I'm no close to that.
Well, Google started building in Nashville probably 2 years ago. Some places of the city do have the connection, but they had some issues with Comcast and AT&T not playing nice with the poles. So the city passed an ordinance essentially saying that, you know, Google can use the poles. And then AT&T said, well, we're going to sue you now. And so, as in the city, so now we're kind of in this weird kind of place. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
Yeah. I don't know. 1 gigabit just seems really nice. Considering everything I do is streamed, and I just signed up for like DirecTV Now, which is for $35 a month, I get like 100 like cable channels. So, yeah. So now I have TV, in addition to my streaming. Of course, I'm just trying out the free trial, and it's like $35 a month. But
you can't really beat that.
Yeah, but there's commercials, and we lost Jackie. So I don't know what happened with that. There she is.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back.
Speaking of terrible internet service, I'm back. Hi, sorry. Didn't mean to leave.
Oh, it's okay. Yes, I just got the text message. I think I dropped.
In any case, this would be a great natural break for Alex to maybe introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, sure. it's a good, whatever, that's fine, yeah.
natural transition?
Yeah, unnatural, whatever type. We're transitioning, right?
We'll just deal with it. Yeah, we're moving.
Totally. So I am currently a senior program manager with Technolutions. So a lot of your listeners will probably be familiar with our flagship product, Slate, which is an admission solution, basically. It encompasses like CRM, reader, releasing decisions, pretty much anything you can think of in an admissions office. And so my role there is to assist schools kind of in the strategic use and implementation of the product, as well as kind of do a lot of other things just focused on the company itself, which is really cool because it's an entirely flat organization with more of like a matrix structure. So we can pick and choose things that we're interested in. So like both of you, I dabble in, well, you guys do it full time, but I dabble in social media for the company. So I manage our accounts there and kind of digital marketing on that front, as well as conferences and writing RFPs and pretty much anything I'm really interested in there, I get to take part in, which is pretty cool. So I've been here for just under 2 years. And before that, I was a government contractor working in DC. And I worked for both the House and the Senate. And I did continuity of operations and continuity of government planning.
That's interesting.
For both houses, yeah. And so that was fun. I did that for like 5 years. And during that time is when I also started EM Chat, which is Enrollment Management Chat, mm-hmm. which has been and grown, I think, to be a really kind of fantastic community, all kind of just started through Twitter, which has been really rewarding. And so finally, you know, 2 years ago, I was ready to make the leap back to higher ed. And so here I am. I landed. I'm happy. Very happy with
it. Very cool. Have you stayed geographically in the same area? Have you had to do a lot of moving?
So when I was in D.C., I lived just outside of D.C. in Maryland, and I went to school in Maryland. I grew up in Maryland, so nothing there. This was our first real move here to Connecticut, so I am here now, just outside of New Haven.
Ah, okay. Yay, New England.
Yay, small states.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Sorry, I always find it interesting, like Connecticut has like is like tiny, yet it has like the same population as Tennessee, which is like nuts. But
I know it's so small. It's like even like Maryland is a small state. You know what I mean? But it's like,
yeah.
Like Maryland is bigger than Connecticut.
There's so many people packed in a very small area.
Right. Yeah. Totally. But I love it here. It's been fun.
I'll have to come out and visit you because I have not been out to Connecticut, even though I live in New England. So
come on down.
I got to get out that way.
Yeah.
What are like the area. Top? What would if I were only there for a day? Where would I have to go? Like, where would you take?
In Connecticut?
Yeah, or in like the New Haven area.
If you were in New Haven, I mean, like, I feel like pretty much New Haven should just be like renamed Yale because I feel like that one everything. City. But I think like old campus is like really cool. There's a lot of really cool museums here. I like the area for like that kind of element of it because it like, I feel like no matter where I go, I feel like I'm kind of surrounded by higher education, which is really cool. But I think New Haven itself, like there's some really beautiful spots in the city, but specifically old campus. And there's also some really good like eating, like eateries and like good bars like in New Haven as well. So,
ooh, I do love food.
Yes.
Yeah. And me too. I do love drinks. So,
yay.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're all going to head out to New Haven now and visit you because that sounds super fun. Well, the reason why I found you, because the way that I find guests is I just go on Twitter, was because of EM Chat. And I saw that you were contributing a lot to it. And then, of course, I clicked your Twitter mm-hmm. bio and you're like, yeah, I kind of founded that. So where did this where did this come from? Like how, why? Give me the whole story.
So I did both my undergraduate and my MBA at Salisbury University in Maryland. And when I finished my MBA, I applied and I received a job with this government contracting company. At the time, it was like SRA International. But I knew like when I was a freshman in college that I wanted to work in admissions, which I don't think a lot of people actually do know that they want to work in admissions, right? Most people fall
You'd
into
be
that
surprised.
Industry.
You'd be surprised. Well, I mean, some people, usually you start out as like a recruiter or something like that, like a student recruiter, like gives
sure,
tours
right, yeah.
or something. I know somebody that started in higher ed there. Her
and
name's
that's where
Jackie.
I got my start too. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it me?
Jackie was very good at walking backwards.
I was so good at it. I did fall Same. One time.
And I was a tour guide too. I worked at admissions for a while as well. So,
all right, cool. Yeah. And so I knew I wanted to kind of get back into admissions, like when I graduated, and I didn't expect really to kind of be, doing government contracting for the amount of time that I did, but like life just plays out that way. Right. And,
hey,
and
my degree's in biology. I know how you feel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I was in my job maybe for like 6 months, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm already kind of falling out of touch with like what's going on in the industry and things like that. And that was about the time like when Twitter chats were like really kind of like taking off and getting to be like a main kind of professional development element of the site. And so I thought, you know, there's one for chat, right? Student affairs professionals have this out there. Like, I wonder if there's one for admissions. And so all I did was like put a tweet out there. And I was like, does anybody know if there are any chats that are, you know, specifically focused on admissions or enrollment management? And then like almost immediately I got like a response, excuse me, from Jenny L. Schreller. So she, Jenny L, is the person kind of that who I co-founded, we co-founded, right, EM Chat together. And so she messaged me back and she was like, oh no, there's not one. Let's start one. And so we did. And so a couple of weeks later, we like had our very first chat. And I think there were probably like a handful of people maybe that participated in it, but it was like a really good kind of like kickoff. And then it just really kind of continued to grow from there. And I think like with each like passing week, I just wanted to work more and more and more in enrollment management and just be back and back and back. And so, you know, it took me 5 years to like figure that out. Like I need to be back in it and I want to do it to make that leap back. But yeah, it's been incredible. Rewarding over the last few years. So, but yeah, that's how it started. A tweet
is always how the craziest things start. It's how,
right?
I don't want to say it's how this podcast started, but I met Jackie on Twitter. So before we went to a conference, we were both getting ready to go to the conference, and we ended up talking on Twitter and becoming friends, and then that's how this thing started. Well, so that was fun.
Yeah.
So what do you guys talk about on EM Chat for those listening? Because we have folks from all over higher education that listen. Kind of tell us a little bit about it, what you guys talk about, and those kinds of things.
Absolutely. So I think we talk about pretty much anything that falls under the enrollment management umbrella, right? So from recruiting through retention, kind of anything that's in there, as well as we do a series of like crossover chats throughout the year. So we might do a crossover chat with career services. We might do a crossover chat with advancement and things like that. I think a main focus of EM Chat is really to kind of focus on breaking down the silos that exist in higher education, right? Like we witness them every day. And so it's really to kind of find a way to spark conversation and to learn something new about something you may not know so much about already. So when it comes to what a chat topic may be, right, it really kind of runs the gamut. So it could be anything from tactics for surviving fall travel, right, because that could be really crazy, best practices in digital marketing, how schools are using students for social media, kind of best practices in retention and interesting academic advising programs that are going on, or how technology is being used for academic advising. And we oftentimes will also bring on either kind of experts in that area, or we'll bring on higher education partners. So I think a good example is like this last week, we did a Q&A on digital marketing in general, and we brought we had some folks from the Carnegie Communications team join us, and they've been some really great like EM Chat partners over the years. But you know, they brought a couple folks from their team ready there to kind of answer the questions, frequently asked questions for digital marketing. Mm-hmm. So it really could be anything. And so we try to build our calendars out at least 6 months in advance. So on our website, you know, we've got that calendar outline, so anybody can kind of just go on there and see what topics are coming up, because like not everything is of interest to everyone. And so we do get, you know, an array of professionals on there, again, from really across institutions.
Wow. Good for you guys. It's a lot of work to develop those chats.
Yeah, especially when you were working for the House and Senate. I mean, you luckily, must have been really like, passionate about enrollment management.
Oh my gosh, I was. I know. Luckily, I was on like a time and materials contract. So like I had to stop at 40 hours. I wasn't legally like allowed to work past that. So it was like I had lots of time to kind of focus on like
man, that other must be things. Nice.
Yeah, how do I get that job?
Yeah. It's all contracting, right?
Sorry, guys. Can't actually work anymore. Can't answer that call. Not answering that email.
I think it probably drove my wife crazy. Sir, I know it did at some points, you know, because it's like I would come home and I'd be like, all right, I gotta talk to some people about planning this chat for this week. And I've got to come up with questions. And I got to write a blog post about it. But over the years, you know, we've had people who are like, oh, I'm interested in contributing. So they would write blog posts for us. Or we have a series or a bunch of different moderators now who will come on. So I don't have to like lead the chat each week, right?
Which is nice.
Or Jillian, you know, who also does the chat with us. And it's really nice because that's, as you guys know, this is even more like time intensive what you're doing. But like it's time intensive in general, right? To like come up with an idea, plan it, get the guests, get everything together. Then you guys edit it. So it's like,
I put a story. I listen together, to it, you know? And I listen to it and I take out if there's too many ums. I mean, it's not that bad.
Right. Yeah. It's enough though. It right? Because it's outside of like your normal like day. Like this is just something that you're passionate about doing, which makes it seem not so much like work, but at times like it definitely can feel like work, I think.
I think that happens because, and I don't know if you guys with the EM chat, but in terms of doing the same exact thing every single week just gets, and I don't want to call it boring because obviously like we have different guests every week and you have a different topic, but it's the same rhythm every week. Yeah. And so taking breaks, I think, is really important. I think for our audience too, I think they need that break. Do you guys, agreed. Does the EM chat kind of take a couple, like a week off, or do you just?
Yeah. So we go pretty much every week. We'll take a week off if like there's a holiday or like a big thing is happening, like in admissions, right? Like we won't have a chat like May 1-ish, even though like that's not like an official, like it's official decision day, but like so many schools do decisions whenever they want now. Yeah. But like, you know, we won't do anything like that. Definitely around the holidays during the summertime, we typically do every other week. And then this summer, I think we will probably do one chat a month for June, July, and August. Just because like people are on vacation, it kind of dies down and it's like a slower time of the year for admissions offices.
Yeah. So, once the cycle is winding down, everybody wants to take a break because it's a race, you know, from totally. August through, you know, through May.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife is an admissions coordinator at Belmont, so she's in the heat of it right now. And,
Totally.
I work a lot with admissions because I used to work in admissions long, long ago. And when I came to marketing, they didn't replace me, so like all my stuff kind of followed me over to marketing, and I just my scope increased less so than I got a new job. So. You know, over the years, we work a lot with admissions, with our social media marketing. I help them with email, video, all that kind of fun stuff. So they're probably my biggest, partner, across campus. So,
okay, cool.
It's lots of fun. And you know, I used to do, I pretty much ran our CRM, before I left, and then we've since we switched to a different CRM, so I don't have to do as much work. But you know, I still help a little bit with email marketing and some other things here and there. So I still get to have some fun, and I still get to do some stuff. So it's good.
The part of my job that I really like is kind of like the strategy element of it. So like even internally at an institution, right, it'll be interesting to me like when everything isn't kind of done under admissions. So maybe marketing isn't somebody on the admissions team that's doing it. It's actually like your MarCom team that's like over somewhere else on campus that's either building the content or kind of helping determine how messages should be sent, when they should be sent, things like that. Because it's like the admissions team sometimes will be like, oh, I can't talk with marketing today. And then you get somebody from marketing on the phone, like, oh, I can't talk with anybody from admissions today. And it's interesting to me to kind of see those relationships on campus. But it's like everybody has like the student's best intention, right? Like in mind with what they're trying to do.
Definitely.
But it's fun for me to help everybody kind of get on the same page. And so that's something that like I really love about my job. And to be totally honest, I forget like why I started talking about that, but it's going somewhere.
Well, I think we were talking about silos and breaking them down, and it took a while. I mean, Belmont, I think I was like one of the first steps to kind of bringing marketing and admissions kind of together. And now that we do, I mean, marketing and admissions, we might as well, I don't want to say we would be the same department, but our goals are finally aligned. We work really hard together to make wonderful, beautiful materials, both digitally and print, to just, you know, really like take it home. And you know, our marketing now is centralized at Belmont, so everything kind of goes through our office that is print or digital or any of those kinds of things. So we all bring everyone together, and it's become, you know, a truly broken silo. We're all like in a pasture now, you know, bumping into each other all the time.
Just about
that's a great way to say it.
I'm picturing you guys like running in slow motion with like do 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 do, like that's what I was picturing as you were talking about that.
And we all, you know, slow motion hug and run into each other. It's great.
That's how you start the morning.
But you know, a lot of it's about building relationships, and it's about, you know, actually getting to know the people. And you know, I walk over to admissions all the time, just stick my head into the director of admissions like door and just say, hey, how's it going today? And you know, we have a really good relationship, and it makes me happy because, you know, we both can just throw out ideas and kind of see how it goes. Like one like digital thing that came out this year, we're doing a thing called Why Belmont Wednesdays, and we film a random student around campus and ask them kind of why they love Belmont. And my student worker has kind of taken this on as her project. It was actually her idea. And she's like, I don't know, could we do something like this? And I was like, I don't know, let's ask admissions. And admissions was like, yeah, let's do this. And then alumni was like, yeah, we'll help.
Nice.
And then student affairs was like, yeah. And like, you know, it's become it's become a thing where even athletics, like the first person that we had was from athletics. They jumped in. So, you know, we actually have built systems to kind of help like pull this silo breaking together. I've talked about it on the show. It's called the social media administration team, or the SMAT. But it's me and admissions and student affairs, marketing, communications, athletics, alumni, all of us every other week sit in a room for an hour and brainstorm. And that's kind of how it works. And that's how things like this are born in, you know. So far it's been cool because current students see their friends and they're like, oh my gosh, it's great. And then their parents come in and like, oh my gosh. and then hopefully the prospective students, we're going to, we're really hoping we're reaching them. But you know, it's kind of hard to measure something like that, because we don't have any particular call to action. But it feels good, so we're gonna continue doing it and see how it goes.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that sounds very cool.
Yeah, Alex, in your work, do you work with a specific type of school, or are you working with like big, small, you know, state, community college?
Sure. Yes. So I would say the company as a whole works with an array of institutions.
Right.
Like for any institution you probably think about, like at that type, I should say, of institution, we will have them as a partner.
Right.
But me personally, no, I don't have a special kind of like school that I focus on solely. I have some large privates, small privates. Right. I have a couple of publics, very large ones, and then. Yeah, no, I don't specialize. We do certainly have people in our office who work specifically with like very specific types of schools, like whether if it's like a conservatory or just music schools in general, because they have very, very specific admissions processes.
Yes, they do. Because my wife, that's what my wife does is She does admissions for the College of Visual and Performing Arts.
Yeah,
which includes the School of Music and Art and Theater. So yes, they are very special.
Almost like a very different process, right?
It, and so it makes my head spin. I understand it, but it hurts my head. kind of just all the different portfolios and auditions and how notifications go out. Because like I said, I used to do our CRM system, and it is very interesting to make a software platform do what the process has always been when the software was never designed to deal with a process this complicated. So
yeah,
it's always interesting.
Yeah, luckily I work for a place that like can handle kind of that and can make it happen. It's just it's interesting because we just have so many conversations regardless of what the process is, you know, about what is the best way to do this in Slate, because there are just so many different ways that you can do things, and it's just always about finding the right path. And you guys don't have to film this. I'm not trying to talk about like Slate like a ton.
Oh, it's fine. So, you know,
but I do love it, so that's why I'm here.
Hey, everybody works in higher education that's on the show, and you work in higher education. You count.
Yeah, that's true. I do.
You pass. Thank you. There's only one. Well, there's one real qualification, which is that you have to work in higher ed, and then the sub qualification is that you have to be awesome, and you've proven that. So we're okay.
All right. Appreciate it.
Well, okay. So we've talked about EM Chat, and we've talked about like this. Why do you love enrollment management so much? Like, so yeah. I just find it interesting. Like, what made you want to do this?
Yeah. So when I was a freshman, I started my second semester freshman. I started working in the admissions office and kind of giving tours. And then when I was a sophomore, they started bringing me to counselor luncheons. And then when I was a junior, I just started kind of expanding, and I was doing like the open houses. I was like a student MC for those. And so, you know, through the course of my undergraduate career, I really got to see a lot of the different kind of elements of like what it meant to work in admissions. And then my freshman year again, Ruffalo, well, now it's Ruffalo, Noel Levitz, right? At the time it was just Noel Levitz. Mm-hmm. They were on campus and they were doing a consulting project. And so I was, or consulting job, I should say. And they were, doing focus groups with students, and I was in one of the student focus groups, and I just thought, this seems like really kind of cool. At the time, not really thinking that like it could be, oh my gosh, I don't know if you could just hear my dog barking.
It's okay.
Like
we
crazy.
Have,
sorry.
Jackie's cat hasn't made an entrance this time, but she usually does.
He just lost it. So that kind of like really sparked my interest. I also had some really fantastic mentors kind of like throughout my undergraduate career in the kind of admissions office. And I think they really kind of sparked that. And then when I went to, when I was doing my MBA, I was actually, I had an assistantship in advancement. So I was getting to kind of see like another side of like the institution. And then like throughout my like college career, I worked in student affairs and I worked in the writing center and I did grant writing. I did like a lot of kind of different things when I was a student on campus. But like looking back on all of it, like the most rewarding experience for me was working in admissions. And like, I was my commencement speaker, or student commencement speaker, I should say. And I remember I wrote my speech, and it was centered around this metaphor of like walking backwards. Like that's how much like I loved being like an admissions host.
Take that up and give us the transcript to put in the show.
Yeah, I'll try and find it. Yeah, and it was just like. It was just all like a combination of all of those experiences together, I think, that made me want to kind of just get back into the specific kind of realm of admissions. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where, how I ended up there.
How neat.
Yeah.
Very cool. I hear Logan's silence. That generally means we're low on time, but I don't know if that's true. Logan like does all the math.
We're right at about 30 minutes.
Oh, good. I'm trying to think. I feel like I always have one like weird final closing question, but I never can think of one.
So you're excited about Rogue One coming out?
Oh, there it is. There it is. Logan loves geeky, weird questions.
I'm not like crazy about it, but like, Logan, if you want me to be really excited about it, yeah,
no, it's okay.
I, to be totally, if you ask my brother that question, my brother would have been like, I can't wait. Like, he is so Star Wars crazy. I know they just had like their company holiday party. He had like a Darth Vader mask. He was like wearing, like, he's very big into Star Wars. Me, I could like come or go with it, which I feel like I,
that's my wife. Don't worry. I was, that was really just a joke question because Jackie couldn't come up with one.
I couldn't come up with one. How could I
and
not?
Then she, and then she dropped off. So I had to go with it. I had to go with it. So
that's fair. That's fair. But Logan, are you excited about it?
I am.
Okay.
to say the least. If I don't know, the listeners may have noticed, I haven't mentioned it anywhere close to as much as I mentioned The Force Awakens, but that's just because I'm trying to keep my I've been told I talk about Star Wars too much. So yeah.
Well,
you get excited about things.
We all get excited about things.
Yeah.
A lot of excitement.
I get excited about enrollment management, which I haven't for a while.
Yeah, this is like a really, really interesting lens that we've put on the show this week, and I appreciate that, Alex. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I listened to like a bunch, like over the last couple of days, like really, I've listened to like a decent number of the podcasts. Like, these are very good. And I think you give some very interesting like perspectives, like in the industry that I don't really think about that often, because like, you know, it's you guys really do span like across the institution, and so it's like been very interesting. So I'm glad like you reached out to me, because like now I have another podcast like I can add in. So this is fantastic.
We're trying to drive ahead on the forge of breaking down silos. That's part of the fight.
That is awesome. Part of the fight. Is it in the description? It should be.
Yeah, we should probably use that. Fighting to break down silos with the team of people like you, Alex.
Trying to create more cross-functional collaboration throughout higher education.
Just use all those buzzwords. Use every buzzword possible.
Synergy.
Synergy.
So much synergy. Oh, gosh. Well, Alex, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. It's been a blast.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, listeners, thanks for sticking around with us. I apologize for all of our technical difficulties. If you want to hear all of our other shows, like Alex did, you can find us on higher-ed.social. Don't forget to subscribe to us. We are on iTunes and on Stitcher. And leave us a review. We really appreciate reviews. If you want to be on the show, connect with us on Twitter at HESpodcast, or I'm at Jackie Vetrano, and Logan is just at Logan.
With you.
Thanks again, Alex, and listeners, have a fantastic week.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks.
Have a good one.